If you already know Drake, or you already been on Drake's TikTok, or his lives, or his Sunday Zooms, which will be once a month now. Did you know? Now you know. You know whose voice this is. It's Shan from She Gets It Pod. So while you're listening to Everything Culture, with an A, not an I, check out She Gets It Pod. All right. I know I'm the one with the little boo me on there. That's me. All right. New season 22, giving y'all encouragement, motivation, and a real insight in the things that I think about on a daily, but I'm saying them out loud to y'all. So check me out on She Gets a Pod on your favorite podcast app, and also find me and the rest of my podcast on shambypodden.com. Now, I hope you're enjoying this show with Everything Culture. Hey, Drake, I'll let you have your mic back now. Bye.
What's going on, beautiful people? It's your host, Drake, B. Drake, with Everything Culture. And we're back with another Makings of You. And this morning, this afternoon, this evening, we have the pleasure of introducing you all to Alana. How are you doing, Alana?
I am doing awesome.
Love it. So I met Alana this summer here in Seattle, 2023, at one of the many events that we go out.
Rainier Beach.
It was at a high school.
Yes.
What's my goodness.
I can't remember which high school that was, but I know it's right there near the Rainier Beach Community Center in that Planet Fitness.
Yes, absolutely. Find out Alana has a lot of big things going on here in the state of Washington, and we're going to learn more about that and what we're doing throughout the makings of her. So yes. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, taking the time out and to listen and watching us. But this is the makings of Alana. Okay.
Hey. And later on, I'm going to say the makings of we.
Once
you know what that means.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this. So, Alana, have you listened to the makings of you before?
The makings of me or the other
people? How you listen to do you know anything about Everything Culture?
Yes, I've seen a couple of the makings of you on a different people that you have done. Someone that recently wrote a book or something that you had on there.
Yes. Actually, that is Jesse, the owner of Poco, where we're actually recording our episode today.
Nice.
So this is going to be a line of questions. You know, we're going to get to know more about you, your childhood, your upbringing, your background, your perspectives in life. Any questions that you feel comfortable asking, feel free to share. The majority of them are open-ended. There's no wrong answers, basically. Okay. Whatever you say is the correct answer, because this is the makings of you.
Okay, so, cool.
You have any questions before we get started?
No, I don't. I'm just ready to dive in.
Okay. Let's get into it. So, Alana.
Yes.
How would you describe yourself?
I would describe myself as, I'm out of the box. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing to really pinpoint me because I, I'm a free spirited person.
Yeah.
So today I might feel like I'm painting, or tomorrow I might want to write a book or sing a song. Another day, if I see someone who needs to be advocated for, then I'm right there with them and helping them through. So I don't never limit myself to just being one thing. So I'm just free spirited.
Love it. Alana, what cultures do you represent?
Whew. So on my mother's side, my mother is, normally I just say black. But her dad, they always say that they're Geech because they
Gullah Geechee.
Yes, they're from Savannah, Georgia area.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And on my mother's side, my mother's grandmother's side, they don't know too much of their history, but they know that they are Native American. And some people say because of the area that, and the name, because my great-grandmother name was Millie or something like that. And so they said that name is more like a Creek Indian name.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever happened with their family, they kind of like split. And she went her way and came to the Florida area. But she died when she had, she was given, my grandmother was like four. She was giving birth. So she died giving birth. So there was no history really passed down. So I know on that side, I would say Geech and Native American. And then on my dad's side is German and Lithuanian. So being that when they had the Holocaust, they couldn't marry other cultures, period. So I guess Lithuanian was one that wasn't allowed. So they came here to America. And you would think that after all of that, that we would have been accepted in the family. My dad married a black woman. Yeah. So pretty much I just mostly say I'm black because black allows me to be everything because a lot of us don't know all of our history.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing with us. You know, you are everything culture. Let me tell you that. So, Alana, where are you from?
I am from, I sometimes say, from everywhere.
Well, let's know.
I was born in Florida, but I was raised in Philadelphia. And let me see. I was born in Port Charlotte, Florida. Then I want to say around my third grade year, my mom, we moved to Camden, New Jersey, just for a brief moment. Wasn't there for long. So I always say I was raised in Philly because from fourth grade all the way up to 10th grade, we lived there. And then 10th through the middle of 11th grade year, we lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Then when my grandmother was passing away, we moved back to Florida. And that was like my middle of my junior year to senior year. And so I always just claim Philly.
Okay, Philly. But you got some Floridian roots all throughout you, I see. Okay.
In that accent.
Love it. So when it comes down to your caregivers, how would you describe your caregivers?
My caregivers. My caregivers, I would say pretty much my mom, because we're women strong, dominant in our family. My dad, I didn't know much of when we were growing up because my mom and dad got divorced when I was a kid. So then, and she remarried right after that. So there was our stepdad. And for me and my sister, it was always like we feel like the redheaded stepchild because those are his kids. So he's going to do everything for them. And I don't think that it was intentional, but so it was pretty much just really my, well, actually, if you ask my family, my siblings, I was the caregiver because my mom was a pastor. And so it was everything church. And so we were kind of like latchkey kids. So I pretty much raised my siblings. And so that's why when you say caregiver, I don't really know because I almost kind of feel like I raised myself in a sense.
Okay, and that kind of leads into the next question, because a lot of people don't know what latchkey kid means, but you would like to describe it to the folks?
Yes, latchkey kid is like a kid that has to come home and pretty much let themselves into the home because the parents aren't there, whether they have to work late or whatever the reasons are, the kids are letting themselves in and being there at home.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Great job of that, by the way. So when do you feel like you had your first sense of responsibility?
My first sense of responsibility would be in second grade. My baby brother, the oldest baby brother. So I'm the oldest of five. So my mom had my baby brother, and I would have to come home and change his diapers. And back then we had cloth diapers. So
some people bringing it back.
So I had to change diapers, get up in the middle of the night and help warm up the bottle because my mom was back and forth to church and my stepdad needed help. And then, so pretty much around second grade.
Wow. You know, I'm Southern, so this is always a question I struggle with. But do you mind sharing your age with us?
Oh, no, I don't mind. Hey, I'm going to have a birthday party this year. I'll be 46, and y'all are welcome to come.
Okay. What are you throwing it at?
I have not decided yet. But I was like, this place looks so cool right here.
Okay, we'll put on for Poco.
Because I want to be kind of like mystery style. I love mystery parties.
So, really?
Yes.
Okay, mystery parties. So when coming up, what was your first paid or taxable job?
My first paid job was when I was 13. And in Philadelphia, we had this program called WePick. And what WePick is like a like the government has this program for kids who are low income families to be able to have a job, to learn a skill of something that they are interested in. And they get mentored in that area. So business is what take you in. And my interest was in the area of theater and dance. And so we learned African dancing. We put together stages, learned how to build stages, how to write playwrights, all of those things. And this lady, Desiree Brittingham, I never forget her. She was our teacher. Wow. and we would get paid weekly, and they had our parents to set us up a bank account so that way we can learn about financing and all of those type of things. So it kind of like alleviated the parents from that extra financial burden, because we got to make our own money. Right. And got to spend our own money.
Right. So, you know. Sound like we still need those programs. Are we Pixel around?
I tried to look it up because I was trying to find myself in the newspaper, because I was on the front page of the newspaper back then. Okay. For the play.
Okay. Been making moves. Okay. Ain't mad at it. Ain't mad at it. I know I went through something like that. It was called Upward Bound in Texas. Okay. So very simple. Extremely helpful.
Okay.
I just hear quite often, a lot of folks may say they didn't learn this in school about paying bills, managing a budget. But see, thankfully, we had certain programs like WePick that assisted us with our growth.
And I think that would be nice to have here, because, like I said, it alleviates and contributes to the family. Mm-hmm. And also, like, if you include financial responsibility programs, whether it's the bank or different, because we have a lot of minority people have businesses who teach that they can also come in and, you know, be paid to teach those kids. So it's kind of like the money funnels around and helps everybody.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. So coming up. How are you disciplined or redirected?
Oh, Lord. I was disciplined with the extension cord, the room stick. That was, you know, the old-fashioned way.
By any means necessary, what it sounds like.
Yes. Okay. So that PTSD way.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, we're going to have conversations more about that in the future, too.
Yes.
But it was was there a point that you feel like it was effective?
You know, not really, because I grew up and I was in and out of the hospital for suicide and depression. So for me, I guess I felt like I didn't have a sense of community or safety or security. And but for when it came to like music and those other things, because my mom was also a musician. Wow. And a vocal trainer, I think that in a sense, it probably pushed me to be as good as I was. And I don't know if maybe there was probably, if she would have did it differently, if I would have been as good. And I'm not saying that I probably couldn't have, but I don't know, because I didn't have a different way I learned.
Yeah, yeah. So. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. And once again, sometimes we get a little touch. If we need to grab some napkins or tissues, let me know. And you know, once again, thank you for sharing with us and being transparent. So what were and what are your beliefs?
Okay. So my beliefs, when I was growing up, I was taught about, you know, Jesus, get on the cross. I mean, on the altar and tarry all night till you're speaking in tongues. So, and then I had a point, because I have a book out, so I have a point in a period where I talk about it in my book where I said I hated God. Because I would always feel like, why do I have to be here saying your name, being beat with a switch until I speak in tongues? Because if I really want to love you, I would love you myself. But I, you know, so I feel like I hated and I resented God at that point. And then I went through, I want to say a long time period where I just said, I don't know what I believe. I got to a point to where I believe in, I don't know how to even explain it. I believe that everybody has their own relationship with God. Doesn't matter if he's Allah, if he's Jesus, if he, whatever you call him. I believe that whatever brings you the peace of mind and the freedom that you need, because I hear people say, oh, I became a Christian and I have turned away from all these things and I'm happier than ever. Somebody else might not have that experience. Somebody might say, I turned to Allah and had this, you know. So I believe that spirituality is to each person. And for me, I find peace of mind and just rest and relax you know, like in taking deep breaths and thinking on positive things, it may be a scripture. It may not be a scripture. It may be something, Proverbs or whatever. But I believe that my spirituality is being connected with just, you know, what is.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good, good, good. Thank you once again, y'all. Y'all are tuning in to the makings of Alana with Everything Culture. So, Alana.
Yes.
If you could recommend a movie, a book, and a television show, what would you recommend?
All of those, like book, movie, or or and?
No, and. So give me one of each.
Okay.
Well, however you want to do it.
A movie. Let's see. I'll skip the movie for now. Okay. A book would be, you know, I would say for me, the book, it would be multiple books. Any of the books, like I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Diary of Anne Frank, is because out of all of those, I feel that no matter how hard it is or how hard it was, they always found some positive thing that they said, like Anne Frank said, despite everything, I still believe in good in people. Even though I didn't believe in what she said, but it made me feel that she went through something worse than me for me to be complaining about what I'm going through, even though I probably was going through something horrible. But I'm not, I'm at a place to where I can still make a difference. And so that's the book. Let me see. A TV show. Don't get mad at me, public. Cosby Show. Wow. Oh. I love the Cosby Show.
It was a great show. I just started watching the Cosby Show.
Okay. I have all the series. I have them all on DVD still.
I was just telling folks that I didn't watch the Cosby Show growing up because I didn't think it was real.
Okay.
I didn't think you could have a black family to have a, like, with success. No arguing, yelling, screaming, you know, no, like, switches and belts, man, and being successful and both parents working. I like, get out of here. And now that, you know, I see a few clips and I'm like, I need to watch this. So I, like, just started watching the Cosby Show. Yeah. Like, I knew the gist of the few of the characters here and there, but never, like, really sat down and watched it. It's some really good lessons to learn from.
And see, my favorite character has always been Claire Huxtable. I follow her on social media. So I love her mannerisms and how she cared and how she would respond when it was a situation. It was not no, you know, we'd be ready to pop off, but she knew how to pop off, but still looking so classy and elegant doing it.
Yes.
And so that was my favorite. And then a book would be Purely Unadulterated Me, which is by me. On the internet, it says by Love Always, because I changed the characters and location so people can't just track my story or harass nobody.
Yeah.
But that would be my book.
Okay.
As my book talks about how to be a promotion of forgiveness and not the emotion of a traumatic past.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And what's your movie?
My movie would be, oh my gosh, because there are so many movies. Okay, my movie is Black Panther.
Wow. We ain't mad at it. The first one?
The first one.
Okay.
You know, it's the first one is always the best.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for sharing with us. So we have, what's the book?
The book is Purely Unadulterated Me.
Purely Unadulterated Me.
Yes.
The movie Black Panther and the series The Cosby Show.
Yes.
Gotcha. Thank you. So, Alana, what are your passions?
My passions.
What do you love to do?
So my hobbies are, I love going to the studio and singing. Okay. From time to time, I write. It's like when I'm really going through something, I come up with the best song. So I also have a YouTube channel where I have my songs on there, published through BNI. Or is it BNI or is it BMI?
BMI.
Okay.
The ones I know is BMI.
BMI, okay. I was like, I know it's something I haven't published on. And then painting, like I said. So during the pandemic, I have this painting that I painted. Took me 4 months to paint with all the different cultural flags in it, and they're in the shape of a heart, and there's a one in the middle. Took me a while to do that. And yeah, painting, singing, dancing. So on my social media, you see everywhere I go, I'm dancing. I'm the dancing governor.
I did see that. You was at the big day of play recently.
Yes.
Okay. Love it. So who has been your biggest influence in life?
My biggest influence in life. I would say my biggest influence in life has been Maya Angelou. And I, like I said, I read the, I know why. So in school, I just would shut down because I was so depressed. And my teacher was like, you need to, you know, like, hey, I don't want to just fail you. So why don't you just pick whatever books you want in here? So my first book was about a girl who had cerebral palsy. And then that inspired me to read more. And then I went on to I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Mm-hmm. And when I read her story and the fact that she lost her voice, not physically, but she lost her voice, which is to me like my book, is I could relate to her. I felt like she was me speaking up for me, and it just, you know, like inspired me. And then one day my mom, for my birthday, my mom had wanted to surprise me because I don't care for birthday gifts. Christmas and birthdays would depress me. So, especially being around the holidays, so I didn't never want to celebrate. So one year she got me tickets to go see Maya Angelou in person.
Wow.
And that was like so sentimental and special for me. And to have that moment with her and to be able to talk to her in person, I felt like she was my mom.
Wow. Thank you. I'm about to grab some Kleenex tissue for you. I'll be right back. Thank y'all. One moment.
Oh, I know how to go like this.
I know, but you know, I just want to make sure you say you like Claire Hudson. Oh, thank you, Pete. Yeah. Thank you for sharing about your, yeah, who is the most influential person in your life. That's absolutely valuable while we do it. And I'm going to be a little quiet while they finish shaking. Okay. But what is your theme song?
My theme song? It's not even a song. It's a chant.
Okay.
Black Panther.
Okay.
Maya Faya. Ooh, ooh, that's me. Okay. I play that when I wake up in the morning.
Okay, I rock with it. What are his bodyguards called? Adora Milaje?
I think so. Yeah,
I have my Adora Milaje as my sort of support. We're going through.
Yes.
Gotta make sure to use my right hand, not my left hand, by the way.
And I remember when I was watching the video, he says, "That means we win." I said, "Oh yeah, every morning I wake up, I win."
Wow. Love it. Do you consider yourself a morning person?
I used to be a morning person.
Used to be.
I'm a midday person.
Okay. Gotcha. So if you had an advanced telephone, and this telephone, you can call any person, anything, they have to have a conversation with you. Okay. Give me three people or three things that you'll call.
Three people or three things.
Just think of three phone calls you can make or a conversation.
Well, one would be my granddad, just to say hi.
Yeah.
And then the second one would be my cousin who was just recently murdered. Mm. Because I want to know, is he at peace now? Because he lived a hard life.
Wow.
And then the third one would be God.
Okay.
Like, just to ask, like, what is it that I need to know that I don't know? Mm-hmm. Or that I do know, if you tell me that I know, let me know, because I feel like I don't know.
Right. Wow. Yes. Wow. Thank you, by the way.
Yes.
How would you define joy?
Joy?
Yes.
I would define joy as, you know, anything to you that, whether it makes you relaxed, complacent, happy, because to me it doesn't have to be laughing or over elated about anything. It's just being in the moment.
Okay, thank you. So what has been an impactful moment in your life?
An impactful moment in my life was my kids. So I, when I was growing up, I was, like I said, I was suicidal and depressed, and I was that way for a long time. And then when I had my kids, one day I was so I would always, everybody called me the clap back queen, the pop off queen.
You?
Yeah. So,
no way.
So it's like, if you push me there, it's like, don't come for me if I didn't sense you. So one day I was yelling at somebody because they kept on, I don't know if I'm going to
read. Okay.
So one day I was, it was some, you know how like when people do stuff to you and they're just steady poking the bear?
Antagonize.
Yeah, antagonize it. And then it's your stuff. They'll take your stuff and move it. And I, this guy was doing something similar to that, and it was with my car. And as a single mom, you can't afford to keep coming back to the shop, or they mess up something. You know that they're doing something, but you can't afford to prove it.
Right, right.
And I just like went off on the man. I just, I made him feel so horrible. He walked away crying. And my kids were like, Mom, you just took out of his love bucket. Like, what the heck is a love bucket? And they were telling me about the story that they learned in school about when you're like if I'm happy and I share my happiness with you, I'm putting into your love bucket. We're sharing. But if I'm angry and I'm tearing you down emotionally and your self-esteem, and I'm taking from your love bucket and I'm emptying it, which makes me selfish. And so they were telling me the story that they learned in school, and it just made me cry because my kids taught me a lesson.
Don't you love when the kids can teach you a little something?
Yes.
Thank you for being open up and receptive to receive that. You know, sometimes parents can get to the point that I'm the parent. You cannot know anything more than I know, but, well, you know, we all can learn.
Yes.
So shout out to that moment and the experience. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. So, in what areas in your life do you need to heal?
What areas in my life I need to heal? I, you know, I was talking to a politician the other day, and like, to me, I always say forgiveness is not, it's not like forgive and forget or something that you just get over and never cry about. Forgiveness is learning how to set boundaries, and we don't know how to set those boundaries. We having a hard time of getting over something. So, I have like some triggers, and the one thing that was said, in politics, I get tired of feeling like we're not enough, or we get treated invisible. And being a grassroots candidate, I get treated like I'm invisible, and even surprisingly by other Black candidates who I'm not even running against, that I would think that could be like, oh, let me give you some advice here. And it's like, oh, you want to take a picture? Okay, yeah. And blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not standing there, not like, so being made to feel invisible, I think in a sense I need a little healing in that. But at the same token, it's also my fire as to why I run. Because a lot of us are tired of our voice not being heard and being made to feel invisible. And even like I was, I had to talk to somebody the other day. I said, I don't know how to process my cousin's death because of all that he went through. And when he was trying to commit suicide and different situations of like, somebody who, if they're washing their hands and scolding hot water and saying, I need to be clean, something happened to them by the caretaker and nobody's paying attention. So for me, it's like, are you okay now? Yeah. Like, you want Like, how could somebody murder you and you want to be angry, but at the same time, do you feel relieved that maybe you're not going through it anymore because nobody never heard you? Nobody ever listened. So it's about the voices. And I think that's what keeps me so close to being an advocate, is because people out here not protesting just because they want to hate somebody or just because they want the other side to not be heard or to be suppressed. They're advocating or protesting because they're hurting and they want to be heard. And they're tired of you saying, shut up, because we don't want to hear your pain. And so I don't know if that's a healing thing or if that's me fighting is the healing part, you know?
Yeah, no. I absolutely understand. You want us to be the change you want to see.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good. And thank you so much again. I know through these discussions, it's growth. And people are listening. So yes. Keep speaking. You're being heard here with Everything okay. Culture. We're listening to you. Let me tell you that. So who represents your community of support?
My community support would be my husband.
Shout out to Hoodie.
And my kids, of course. And then there are people on my team that are, when people come and join the team, I hear their stories and I connect, like single moms who have their things that they're going through. I've been a single mom before. I know what it's like to try to juggle, and then you have bills come up or somebody tow your car and you don't have the money, but you got to go do these things. So because I listen, those people are also my support, because like I say, advocating is like also my healing and therapy at the same time of being there. I might not can do anything right now until I am governor.
Yes.
But being there and letting them know that they're not alone, because sometimes people, I think that's what got me through a lot, is that I had to say that somebody else out there is feeling the same way as me. Somebody else is out there wanting to commit suicide, just like me. So it's a lot of us out there, but we're just not able to connect. So I take those moments to connect with them. Yes, I'm campaigning, and people probably say, oh, you don't have time for that. But I connect with people.
Wow, wow, wow. Love this. Love it. Alana.
Yes.
When did you realize you were different?
I was always told that I was different. Like, we were a Pentecostal church, so there were always prophets that come through, and they would always tell me, God is preparing you to be well, one said a weeping prophet, that you're going to go against the grain one day. And then when I was in school, so granted all the things that, you know, a lot of people go through molestation and all those type of things or abuse, and a lot of people don't come out on the other side, but I was always trying to attempt suicide. Like, I jumped out of third floor buildings. I've tried to OD on my grandma's cancer medicine to the point to where I went deaf for a whole year. So I did a lot of things, but death never took me out. So it's like, and then that's why I was like angry at God, like, why do you keep making me be here?
Yeah.
So I guess that all made me realize that I was born for a purpose.
Amen. Man, oh my goodness. When going through those experiences, how did you receive assistance? What got you through it? Like you said, it was, yeah. What got you to the other side? I'm sorry.
I was very cold-hearted, like I didn't smile. So going through experiences would be every once in a while.
I don't know what to say. Go ahead.
Okay.
Noise cancellation.
So every once in a while, there would be people in my life. So, like in kindergarten, I might have had a teacher that she would favor me. And then like each grade, there would be always someone who would bring something, say, Ilona, you have this, or Ilona, you can write poems. I love your poems. Come do this. Or when I was at my worst and I felt like I didn't have a voice, it just seemed like a teacher in a school would always, whether they not, I don't know if they noticed that I was depressed or not, but they would always pull me to the side and give me those accolades and make me feel good about myself for that, even if it wasn't for that moment. So people have always been, I guess, say, transplanted here and there through my life. Even when I got out of the military and I couldn't get a job and I had two babies and a newborn at that, and it's like, how do I get a job? And the VA rep, he was like, your kids are like my grandkids. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'm looking out for you. And he looked out for me that whole step of the way. So.
Wow. I'm happy that you have that support, especially in educators, all the way through your childhood, even into adulthood, because having VA representative is a lot. I have a few friends that are into that. So shout out to them, too, from the educators to other people who work with our veterans as well, those giving assistance as well as clear communications on how they receive their benefits as well and how to continue getting support after serving this country. So, and thank you for serving the country, by the way,
Thank you.
So how you feeling? How's it coming along?
I'm feeling good.
Okay. Well, keep that good vibe flowing. We're about to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with y'all soon. Take me a quick little sip and I'll be right back. Right, welcome back, y'all. We're back with the makings of Ilona with Everything Culture. So, Ilona.
Yes. That's my name. On. Don't wear it out.
Well, here we're going to do it. We're going to speak your name and, you know, support you. That's what we're here to do. What are you responsible for?
As in, like, in life or, like, right now?
Open-ended.
Oh, what am I responsible for? I am responsible for me. That's the best answer I can give. Like my kids, they always come to me for advice, and I will tell them my advice is just advice. Because something failed for me does not mean that it'll fail for you. But at the same token, my advice is this is what I went through. Just don't repeat it the same way I did it.
Right.
And I know a lot of times, sometimes they want me to give them the answers, and I tell them, you know, it's not about giving you answers. I provide a safe haven for you to fall. So I don't want them to be tied to codependent on my dreams or what I think is, because I don't think there's such thing as good or bad. It's just about learning how to be you and go through a journey and to enjoy that journey. So I'm only responsible for me.
Wow. Love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, you have a biopic coming up. Film all about you. Film or series, however you put it together.
Yes.
How would you direct it? Who would you want to direct with you?
Okay.
Who would you have play you? And what network would it be on?
Okay. So, who would I want to direct?
Yes.
Denzel Washington.
Okay. Okay.
And I would want to play me is Lauren. I can't think of her last name.
London.
Yes, Lauren London. Okay, okay. I want her to play me. And what was the other question?
What network would it be on?
What network?
No, it could be in the theaters or it can go straight to network. Would you?
I would want my own network.
Oh, okay. Amen. In fact, that's the first time I heard that one. I like that. I like that. Yeah. It's your thing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, if you could have any job in the world,
dang.
But if you were rich, you didn't have to worry about money, but you could do anything. Okay. If you had to do one thing, what would you do?
If I could do anything, it would be advocating. Mm. Advocating and making sure people are heard. Mm. So I guess I'd do that anyhow.
You're living your dream. Love it. And, you know, it's absolutely needed. Okay, yes. This is a would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather go back in time and speak to your younger self? Or would you rather your future self come and talk to you now?
Oh, wow. I guess I would rather my future self come and talk to me now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
So that way, whatever moves I'm making from now to then, I can do my best.
Okay. Okay. Love it. How do you relax?
I relax. I love the bubble bath. Bubble bath with music.
Okay. Okay. I'm right there with you on that. You know, shout out to Dr. What is it? Dr.
Teal.
Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Teals, you know.
Because hey. I have him right in my bathroom.
Hey, we're not sponsored yet. You know, we can make some shake. Just saying. If I need to do some video, like, up in the bathtub. Like, we'll talk about that later. We'll work that out
and
later.
Dr. Teal, I'm looking for an endorsement.
You feel me? You know, like, we use the salts. We use the bath. We got the oils. You know,
I got
this
lavender,
hemp seed oil.
I got the regular.
The coconut oil. Okay, rock with
the
you.
Massage one.
You know, you got to know how to pamp and take care of yourself.
Yes.
We all support that. We're busy out here, but we take care of ourselves.
Yes.
So this is my favorite question.
Hey.
If you have any meal at the snap of your fingers, what would it be and who would prepare it for you?
Any meal.
Yes.
Any meal. Okay, yes. Any meal would be, I would like the vegan steak and potatoes with collard greens and cabbage. And I would like Pinky Cole to make it.
Okay. From Slutty Vegan?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I'm glad you said the full name, because some people don't say the full name. And I'm like, but anyway, don't mind. Don't mind me, y'all.
I follow her, too, on social media.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. I flew all the way to Atlanta just to taste her food.
Really?
Yes.
Did you stand in line?
I didn't even have to stand in line. When I got there, it wasn't a line. I got right off the plane and drove right over to her her restaurant.
Wow. What year was this?
That was last year.
Wow. Okay. So it was on and popping then. Okay.
Yep.
Shout out to Slutty Vegan. All around, which y'all do. Look, got people catching flights. Okay.
I tried to get her to come here.
She probably have a great business up here in Washington.
I asked her, will she franchise? I want one here. But they said maybe in the future.
You would do great up here, let me tell you. All right, we're in the home stretch right now. Okay. How would you want people to remember you?
How would I want people to remember me?
Yes.
I would want people to remember me as the woman who made them feel heard.
Mm.
The advocate.
Wow. What changes are you bringing to your culture?
The changes I'm bringing to my culture is, so just a little tip, background on my family. And like I say, the women in our family are the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
and they are also trailblazers. So my grandmother, she was the first woman in her town in Florida to be have a to become pastor and also own her own church. So she didn't make no payments or lease it. She owned the church cash out.
Wow.
Then my mom, during when they desegregated everything and we're merging the schools back together, my mom was the first black drum major, and my aunt was the first black cheerleader. And then my mom started a school-spirited club to bring both blacks and whites together in unity. And so for me, it would be, when I win, I would be the first black woman in history to be governor in the United States.
Okay.
So, yes.
Love it. Love it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And that leads into our next question. How can we support you?
Yes. So my website is peoplebeforeparty.com, and I can use support everywhere. Like the bigger candidates always have funding, money. They have people to say they have somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, but we don't come from that type of background. So my know somebody who knows somebody is you know somebody who knows somebody else. And to me, that matters more than those big people with the big dollars who don't even know what we need or we're just another statistic to. So donations. My goal is 50,000 people donating 2024. The race is in 2024. So if you donate $20.24, 50,000 people gets me $1 million. And that gets more visibility for me to ask more 2024. Now, if you can donate more, the maximum you can donate is $2,400 per person. But all of that's welcome. Volunteering. I can use help in every different area. I don't have anyone to be my camera person to go around, so I need a camera person. I need someone to help me to make some videos. You know, I have like these video ideas, but nobody to film me and sit me down and like, hey, let's get these done so that way we can post these and get more content out to people. So I'm pretty much juggling campaign management. So it'd be nice to have a campaign manager because I get a lot of people who say they want to do things, but they don't have skills in areas, but they want to be directed to something. And so me being one person, I can't try to juggle all that while I'm trying to at least work the main section. Like we just had an event planner come on and, so right now, this is my brand.
Okay.
So we're doing a little bit of rebranding at the moment. And then we have another group, a guy who has a business in social media, but he's coming on. He's volunteering his time to help. Right now, he's fixing the website. Okay. But to try to help get postings going for social media. But we also need that videos for him to chop up some stuff. And so pretty much volunteer, hosting parties, because like I said, I want to meet people. Commercials is fine, billboards is fine, but people don't get to know that I'm a real person until they're sitting in front of me, because we don't never get to meet candidates. They never come see us until election year. And I've been out here in these streets since last year. And it's a lot of people to meet. However, I'm still willing to go and sit down. Now, I've been going to 39 counties, only made 30 of them. I got 9 more to go. And because I don't have connections inside those counties, I'm just, if I stop at a gas station, hand out a card, or sitting at the restaurant, talk to people, or if this, I see it's a bit, because over there it's not like that many business districts or nobody's really busy over there. So I just tried to make do with what I have to try to hopefully make some connection where people say, hey, we want you to come back and speak. We'll set up something here, but I want people to know at least I did hit your area.
Yes. Wow. You got our support here at Everything Culture. And I hope everybody who's listening and watching can take time to support Alana, especially if you're in Washington State. You don't Don't let me say the wrong thing.
You don't have to live here to donate.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
And you don't even really have to live here to volunteer because you might have a skill set that can be done over Zoom.
Exactly. See, so. And if we need to make a connection, we'll make that happen. So, yes. Alana, you've done it. You've did it. You've completed the makings of you with Everything Culture. Congratulations.
Look, I thought you were about to say, you done it. You did it. How's the inauguration going to be? I was going to say, it's about to be Wakanda forever.
We're going to get ready for all that. So, but this, we have great appreciation for you taking time out and coming and meet with us here at POCO, sharing your life, sharing your experience, sharing your interests with us, as well as your goals and aspirations. We absolutely see you being in a position and making history here. So, you know, continue to be praying for you throughout everything, seriously, and supporting. But if the people are looking for you and you're trying to be found, where can they find you?
All my information is on peoplebeforeparty.com. And if you're on social media, everything is at Elona, E-L-O-N-A, for F-O-R, gov. So Elona for gov. That's all my social media handles.
All right, all right. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to make sure the people find you. So I want to say once again, thank you again. Thank you for everyone listening. Thank you for everyone watching. We're going to give a special shout out also to my guy, Prince. You know, I know Prince. He is, you know, working behind the scenes AKA on this episode. Yeah. yes. And we just want to say we're grateful for our support that we receive here at Everything Culture. Ooh, look at me, Everything Culture. Let me correct it. You know, get my southern roots together.
So our thing is everything.
Yeah, that's what we're here to do it for. But, you know, we're so grateful being here in the Pacific Northwest. By the time y'all listen to this, it may be a few weeks out. But, you know, the Drakes are coming back to Houston. So, you know, we still supporting no matter where we at. We're still supporting. But, you know, we look forward to celebrating. I look forward to being with our folks. But we cannot go without shouting out our family that we've created here in the Pacific Northwest, here in Washington and Seattle. We truly built community here. And, you know, for the past 4 years, wow, Everything Culture is just as much as Seattle and the Pacific Northwest as much as it is Southern in Texas.
Okay.
So we want to say thank y'all. Thank you so much, Alana, again, for sharing you with us.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back on the show in the future and sharing more as well.
Of course.
Thank y'all again, and God bless. Peace.